Today on the Soda Pod, we're going to have an extended hoppy hour. We got Justin and Mike from Lupulin Brewing riding shotgun, and we are so excited to dive into a ton of beer talk here on episode 205 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. The wild woods of Vancouver Island. Welcome to the Soda Pod. You should join me here alongside the State of Hoppy. Thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Look, Hoppy, we got guests waiting. I want to jump right into our first segment. So we'll run through all of our housekeeping notes real quick and then make the rounds on what we're drinking and how we're doing. Just want to give a quick reminder that if you haven't listened to it this week, go and check out the Brewery Travels podcast. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. You can hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at The Soda Pod. And we're also totally interactive on social media and through our text and voicemail, 612-324-1684. The Hockey Podcast Network and The Soda Pod are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Don't forget to use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. Like I said, introductions, a toast, some drinks with some friends, some new friends, Lupulin Brewing. On the other side, you're listening to The Soda Pod, episode 205, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
As I take a sip here and catch my breath, we got the boys from Lupulin, Mike and Justin. How's it going, guys?
It's going good, man.
Oh,
happy
look at
to
that.
Be here.
On key, perfect. Now, we're happy to have you guys as well. Hoppy, how are you? I didn't even get to you in that intro. I was so giddy to bring on the boys here from Lupulin.
I was going to say, I don't really matter in this one. Let's get to the stars.
Oh, yeah. Well, boys, our first segment of the show, especially when we have a beer-focused show here on the Soda Pod in the Hoppy Hour segment, is to make the rounds on what we are drinking. Mike, let's start with you, sir. What do you got on tap tonight?
I've got the West Coast Bias.
Nice.
West Coast IPA. Super tasty.
So I'm a huge West Coast IPA fan, and I forget, someone showed this to me recently. It was either Hoppy, it was Hoppy or Q. Hoppy must have been
you. Nah, dude, it was Brian.
Brian, that's what it was. One of our recent guests here on the Soda Pod. I know Hoppy's not the biggest West Coast IPA guys, but that's my jam. Okay. Being on the West Coast of Canada here, Vancouver Island. I say it all the time, boys. Minnesota, from what I've heard, from what I've researched, from what Hoppy tells me, like, you guys are like the mecca of craft beer in the United States. And funny enough, the province where I live, British Columbia, that's kind of the same up here in Canada. So it's really cool that, like, you know, Hoppy and I, with this passion for craft beer, are able to, you know, link up in these crazy COVID times online through our passion of hockey and beer, and have been able to really highlight the great breweries in Minnesota. So with that in mind, Justin, you know, being and working with the great brewery of Minnesota in Lupulin, what do you got on tap?
So what I got going here is S&M. This is one of our recent releases. It's a single IPA is what we classify it as. It's a little up there on the booze. It's 7.5, so it's definitely a stiffer single IPA. But it's S&M, and we call it that because it's brewed with Simcoe and Mosaic hops. Those are two of our favorite hops. We use them all throughout our brewing process in a variety of different beers in different ways. But sometimes you just got to showcase what works, and we love this. And actually, we minced words a little bit before we hopped on here, and so I just actually so happened to know what Hoppy's drinking here. But do you want to let everybody know?
That's right, sir. And it is the same beer, but I'll just display this beautiful glass I got from you guys.
Nice.
Oh, it's just so tasty. But yes, also my favorite hops, Simcoe and Mosaic, incredible. And we were actually talking about it, the evolution of this can. It's got really cool texturing. Like, it's kind of hard to see in the video, but you can see it a little bit with the glare. And, you know, Justin was saying, oh yeah, like, we had the cool label before, but it just looked like there was texturing. Well, sir, It's one of the few cans I've kept because it's one of my favorite beers and it's a sweet can. It absolutely has the texturing and it's a pretty clean look.
I think I might have drank too many of them back in the day.
That'll explain it.
Working on it.
Well, which one, Justin, do you like better? That's the question. Do you like the old can or the new one?
I mean, so if you see on that old one versus the new one, got to give it up to these restraints, my friend. That's a nice little touch, and it's very in the vein of the beer too. So I got to give it up to Marcus, our man, Marcus Paulson, our marketing and art director. I got to give it up to him. He did it again, and he knocked it out of the park.
I love it. I don't quite beat you with the booze count there, but I'm pretty close. I got a white IPA of it's the Electric Unicorn, one of my favorites from Phillips Brewing. It hits 6.5%, so not quite where where yours is at, but it's still a tasty one. And this one's fucking dangerous because it's so sweet and so refreshing that even the non like IPA crowd usually hover towards it and don't realize that. You know, maybe, you can crush a six pack of just like your normal, your Bud Light everyday beer, but you crush a six pack of these and you're not feeling too good in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, well, cheers, gentlemen. Thanks again for jumping on the podcast.
Cheers to you as well. Thank you.
We'll dive into some more, Lupulin talk and some beer talk and a little bit more about, you guys in particular, Justin, head of quality. You're the lead of Scribbled Line Sour Program as well. At Lupulin. Just tell us a little bit about, how you got into the industry and how you found yourself at Lupulin.
Right on. So what I do there is all things quality control, and we have a quality control lab, and so a lot of our quality control happens in the lab, but a lot of our quality control also happens outside of the lab too. You know, it's something that you can run tests on, you can gather numbers on various values, but at the end of the day, we're drinking the beer with our mouths and we're smelling it with our noses, and it's hard to quantify some of those experiences that we have with that. So quality is all throughout the brewery, and I try and do my best to oversee it and in all those aspects. And then I also do the mixed culture Scribbled Line stuff, which is our traditional barrel aged mixed culture sour program, where we utilize a variety of old world techniques to brew those kind of unique long age mixed culture beers with a variety of non-traditional yeasts and bacteria that you don't necessarily see in some of our stuff that might be in cans in the liquor store. It's definitely a different kind of animal over there, and it's almost a whole different style of brewing. But it's actually partially what got me into brewing too, is my love of sour beer and IPAs prior to working at Lupulin was something that that actually led me to Lupulin is Hooey. You know, we were just talking about Hooey before. I drank Hooey for the first time, got it at the liquor store. The can looked cool. I'm like, shit, that looks cool. Might as well try that. Hooey Juicy, sure. You know, and it was kind of when that stuff was just coming on a little bit too. So that's what brought me to Lupulin. And what brought me to quality control is I majored in biochemistry and graduated from St. Cloud State. And so I was able to apply what I learned in school, which I actually liked. You know, I liked it. I liked going to school for it. I didn't hate it. I wasn't like, you know, just dying to get out of there and graduate and didn't like what I was doing. So it was a pleasure to be able to take what I like to do and put it towards something that I love to enjoy and from a place that I love to enjoy it from. So when I had the opportunity to start on at Lupulin, it was, I mean, I was like telling everyone, I'm like, oh my God, it's like I landed my dream job right out of college. You know, it's kind of exactly what I wanted to do. And 2.5 years later, I feel the same way. So I'm happy to be here and happy to work with guys like Mike, who are willing to teach me a lot of stuff that I didn't know too. You know, like I came into it like very green on the brewing side. So guys like Mike and the other guys that we work with too, who've been doing it longer than I have and have a lot more experience than I do on that end of things, were very good teachers and nice guys and took me under their wing, and it's been a good ride.
Well, that's amazing, man. Such a cool story. Mike, lead brewer at Lupulin, and you also run the Bradham Infusions program, which we'll get to later in the show because Hoppy has a lot of questions for you on that. But same question to you, sir. How'd you get into the industry, and how did you land with Lupulin?
So basically, as I was working as an electrician, I just liked brewing beer, so I got into home brewing. And from getting into that, I built a 3-vessel all-electric Herm system in my basement, tried to make like a almost like a legit brewery in my basement to try and get into the industry. And slowly from that, got into some forums and met some people. And then for a while, I was the co-head brewer at Broken Clock in Northeast Minneapolis. And so then from there, a job opened up at Lupulin, and definitely had to go for it because I've loved Lupulin since they basically since they opened. I was there the day they cut the ribbon to open their doors. So it's kind of one of those, like Justin was saying, dream jobs. Like, so yeah, able to get a position there and, you know, just kind of busted my butt home brewing and got into the industry and slowly worked my way up.
And so I'm actually going to grab this here quick.
Oh, nice.
So we always add a growler for each brewery that's jumped on to the show with us to the wall. But I need this here for a prop because before we even get into the name of the brewery, we got to touch on the slogan, which I'm fully in support of. I don't think this even needs much explanation. Work sucks. Mm-hmm. Drink beer. Yep. I think that's how Blink-182 originally had it written. I don't know. but love that slogan. But like for the listeners, tell us, what the hell is a Lupulin?
Ah, well, so I'll fire this one off a little bit from the science end of it.
That's so funny. Just before you get in, now that I know you're in biology and whatnot, I'm just like, oh, you're gonna have the perfect answer for this because I didn't know how this was gonna be answered when I first wanted to throw it out there. So continue, Justin. I'm fucking pumped.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. So Lupulin is so you see like the. On the hop cone there, like our logo is the hop cone, right? And it's actually like a cross section of a hop cone, basically. So if you had the whole cone, like the whole hop nug, and you like cross section the hop nug and look at it, like the veins inside of it, like those are glands and they're lupulin glands. And they produce a powder, which is called lupulin. And it's basically like said, I mean, I said nug, like, and for lack of better words, like it's hop keef, essentially. It's like a very like hoppy, like keefy substance of the actual cone itself. And so it's like this fluffy, dusty hop concentrate in a way. And it's, produced by the lupulin gland of the hop.
Nailed it. I love it. I will, because I was reading about you guys in an article by Hop Culture, and the article was based on mostly, you know, the name, the logo, and then the Lupulin. And that's why I was like, okay, I gotta throw this to them to see if they know exactly the ins and outs of this, because I just learned very little. Like you enlightened me even more than this quirky article did. So that's so cool. And that was really awesome to learn about as well. And I know I threw it to Hoppy when we were prepping for the show, and I was like, Hoppy, do you know what a Lupulin is? And Hoppy, he usually knows more about beer stuff than I do. So I was like,
I have no idea.
I even got one on Hoppy ears.
He absolutely nice. Thought he was gonna come into this and big dick everyone too and be yes, like, I know exactly. You guys know what it is, but let me really tell you what it is. And then Justin's like, yeah, bio, and she's like, fuck.
I love it. Cheers.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because I wondered the same thing myself. I'm like, what in the hell is a Lupulin? And so I look it up and so. And that's like, yeah, it's like Lupulone and Humulone are like two kind of like compounds in the hop itself that contribute different flavor compounds. So yeah, that's where it comes from.
More like truly is a beautiful science.
And so I've been drinking your beer for a long time, but for the first time I got into the tap room this summer, because I found out like randomly, because I always knew you were in Big Lake, didn't really know what or where Big Lake was. And apparently my parents got a cabin last summer and it's like 6 minutes out of the way on the path that I take up there, which goes through nice. Like 8 breweries that are all like right on the trail. So yep. Now you guys are just added as the first one on the list because you're the first one I hit. But we were at the cabin on our way back and we're scrolling through, Mike, and we see on Facebook, oh, hey, the new Bradham's release, which I didn't even really know what that was yet. And it's Crunchberry. My wife's like, yeah, we're going there. So we did. We get their awesome tap room. Let me just say, first and foremost, really cool space. Love, obviously, the decals you guys have on the bathroom doors. It's very, very clever. Basically have the skeleton of the hop nug, as Justin puts it. we'll just say in delicate spaces on the man and the woman on the door. And so when I went, though, you guys had that big ass tent outside and we had our dogs. We're like, all right, let's go sit out there. And some lady, and like, you know, people that kind of look like their dogs, right? Like you just look at them and you're like, this is absolutely something that God intended. This lady sits down with her husband, who's like clearly just not interested in like anything that's going on. He's like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, not because he doesn't want to be at the brewery. He's just like, I don't want to be anywhere. And she's like super intent on something she's like writing down. And her dog is like right there in the middle of the area, just dropping a big old shit. And she's like none the wiser, right? Looks over literally like 30, 45 seconds after. And we're all kind of like seeing this develop. We're like, this could be interesting. And she looks over and she's like very upset and bothered. Like she's offended that someone's dog shit is on the ground near her. Zero awareness that it's hers. Zero whatsoever. Like you can see her and she's like kind of like nudging him. And she's like, someone's dog took shit. What the?
Right next to me.
Didn't even pick it up. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. And like this lady is like, you can tell like she's not going to be a great person to try and reason with. And I'm like, I'm absolutely going to like go hand her like a poop bag and just be like, hey, you're going to need this to deal with your shit, lady. And my wife's like, no, no, no. She's going to be it. So mad. No, don't agitate her. Leave her alone. And I'm like, fine, whatever. Like we have a couple more drinks. Like obviously we had to enjoy the wonderful Crunchberry Bradham. And finally, like this lady, like literally just like kind of slowly kicks some wood chips over it. Oh, God. So like long story short, like I apologize, but we left before she did. And that shit pile is probably still just sitting out there somewhere.
Not surprising.
It's a little treasure for you to go out and find. But that's a really long segue, Mike, into that was a delicious beer. I thought that was going to be an absolute, like, I thought I was going to get diabetes from the sugar overload. And it was an incredible, clean, but delicious beer.
Talk
about Bradham.
Yeah, so Bradham's basically, they started before I even worked there. So there was two guys, Brian and Adam, and they were the ones that would make these. That's where Bradham comes from. But so after a while, I ended up taking it over. And so, yeah, it's a weekly infusion. It can be anything, any style of beer, any kind of ingredients. So we have a meeting about once a month, come up with a bunch of ideas, and every other week I make basically 2 weeks worth. And yeah, and now we're actually going to start doing some big batches, gonna start making some like 3-4 barrel batches, crowlering them and pasteurizing them so that we can sell them. But yeah, basically ideas come from, you know, what kind of coffee you want to drink, some kind of like cake or pie or candy or cereal, or I mean just about anything, you know. And sometimes just looking at what beers we got, hey, what would pair good with this, or you know, just kind of random crap that we come up with, and then I write the recipes for them. And so
bring us like to that inner circle. Like Justin, you can comment on this too, but like what is it like being in the meetings where you come up with these concoctions?
Well, we do a lot of this. So we do a lot of, so like, that's actually funny because like, seriously, you know, when we got the Bradham meetings, it's like 11:30 and it's like, all right, everybody grab your beer. Let's sit down and let's think about some food and stuff. And then Mike kind of spearheads the whole thing. So you can kind of go through, you know, like how our process of food beer design goes through.
Yeah. Just kind of, you know, looking at the beers and what crazy ideas have we come up with. You know, we have a big old list from just, you know, tons of these meetings where we're like, hey, this thing would be delicious if we did it, but we don't have any beers that it would go with right now. So let's table that and come back to it. And or we'll think about like holidays coming up, you know, for like Halloween, we'll try to do some like Halloween themed stuff, or Thanksgiving, try to do some of that kind of stuff.
The pumpkin spice.
No, yeah. Please, no.
Came up in our meeting on
Monday
or Tuesday, whenever.
Please, no PSLs, no PSLs. Hoppy,
it's a good segue into my next question after Mike finishes. So don't shake your head yet.
Yeah, I mean that's just kind of, you know, there's not a whole lot, you know, nothing complicated to it. Just kind of everybody's got their own kind of flavors and things they like, and just kind of brainstorm some ideas and come up with stuff, look back at stuff that went over really well, try to either improve on it, do it again, or because I mean, like the one that we're going to do for Halloween coming up, do a 3-barrel batch. And so we've got a Count Chocula kind of blend that we've done before with a few different beers. So we're going to do a CPB this time, and it'll be the first big batch we do. So kind of excited about that.
All right, I'm going to need an invite to that release.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot of crawlers, so we will definitely have – it'll be that – I think Halloween is on Sunday, right? I think it is.
You know what Mike's leaving out for you, too, is the what's super important in this development of, like, these recipes, the Bradham, and, like, what we want to do again, how do we make it, like, really, really good, is that Mike is the absolute king of Microsoft Excel. Or Google Sheets, whatever spreadsheet service you can think of, Mike has got it on lock, and he's got a spreadsheet for it, and he keeps track of it. And so it's really helpful, you know, in these meetings, we talk about something, we think about something. It's like, shit, wasn't that really good? Should we do that again? Okay, let's look back on it. Mike pulls this stuff out, and we see tasting notes, ingredients, what went well. And like, we got like, so say it was like the oatmeal raisin cookie one. It's like, oh, say we need like, didn't really get the oatmeal, didn't really get the raisin or something. And so like next time we know to bump something up a little bit. So it's kind of this constant like state of refinement, or knock it out of the park. Spreadsheet says nailed it. Do the exact same thing. Don't change a thing. And that's kind of that stuff that we want to scale up. Like we were talking about how doing those bigger batches and putting them in the crowlers, you know, those 750 milliliter big dogs there.
Yes, so which, by the way, we don't get in Canada. So when Hoppy sent me a bunch of them, I was like, oh man, these are sick.
What the hell is this?
This is huge. Like, I gotta pay $8 for this. You guys pay $8 for those? Holy shit.
Yeah, sometimes we blow them out for $5, dude. Even less sometimes.
I can't wait to visit you boys in the spring. Holy.
They'll cost you a whole $0.00. And the biggest vessel you can have.
You can take my Monopoly Canadian money.
It's the first time he's admitted it. Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not even paper. It's like some weird plastic. You can't even burn the thing. Not that you'd want to. I'm just saying. Oh, man. Well, we talked a little bit about like I brought up pumpkin spice, and Hoppy rolled his eyes, you know, rolled his entire head there. What are some of your guys' favorite styles of beer to brew? And then to counter that, what are some styles that maybe you have to brew, like the pumpkin spice, but don't necessarily want to brew? Justin, we'll start with you.
So, funny, you know, the beer you're drinking, a white IPA. Dude, that's like one of my favorite styles of beer. I absolutely love white IPAs. Because I drank New Belgium's Accumulation kind of when I was really just getting into craft beer, and I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was such a good beer. And now that I know a little bit more about beer, I've come to understand it's that I genuinely really like wheat beers. So I love IPAs. I love wheat beers. I love wheat in beer. I love the mouthfeel that it gives. And so that paired with a nice hoppiness that comes in a white IPA like that, it was just like, it's kind of my jam. And so that was actually the first beer that I brewed, was a super juicy white IPA. And so I love to drink IPAs. I love to brew IPAs. That's kind of for sure my go-to and what I like to do. And, you know, as far as like the only thing that I don't like to brew is something that ends up not being what people want to drink. You know what I mean? Like I might not want to drink something exactly. It might not be the first thing that I go to on tap, but no matter what, like I'm always happy to brew something. I'm always happy to make something. I'm always happy to try and kind of give a new idea a shot, because like if someone loves it, I mean, it just gives us more opportunity to do the stuff that we love to do and make the beer that we like to make. So we definitely like to make what the people like so that we can make what we like to make too. But yeah, it's just happy to be on the brew system, happy to make beer for people to enjoy, really.
Well, come on, Justin. I know you work kind of like for Mike here, but there's not something that you're just like, okay, I have to brew.
No, fair enough. It's Mike, actually, that's probably a better question. I think Mike if anyone didn't like want to brew something or didn't like brewing something, it would be Mike, because he spends more time on the system for sure.
Yeah, and for me, like, there's not really much I don't like to brew. I mean when you boil it down, it's all just kind of process. You're doing pretty much the same thing every time. It's the end result that's kind of more, you know, things that I like or don't like. A lot of stuff in like the Belgian category, I don't like as much of like the banana and some of the bubblegummy kind of characteristics you get off of some of that yeast. And then like there is one hop I absolutely do not like at all, Sabro. It tastes like pina colada to me, and I absolutely hate pina colada coconut. So even when we use it in like small amounts in some of our beers, I can pick it up and I'm just like, I can't even do it.
So if I Pepsi challenged you with that, Mike, if I just gave you a couple beers and like out of the three, one of them had like a little bit of Sabro in it, you'd be like, that's the one.
I'd most likely be able to. Yeah.
Hey, we should put that to the test sometime and get some more content out of it. We'll come to the tap room. Fun. Yeah, it we should do that. Honestly, we'll come to the tap room when Hoppy's on the way to the cabin, when I come out and visit, and we'll put that to the test. We'll make some content out of it. That'll be fun.
It's perfect because I do something similar. My friends are amazed at how easily I can pick up how awful a Miller Lite tastes. Like, I'm not a beer snob or anything. I'll drink most light beers. For some reason, Miller Lite tastes like piss to me. I don't know why. And my friends are assholes, though. If that's like the cheapest beer, they're like, well, he'll deal with it and he won't notice. They hand it to me. I take a sip and I just look up. I'm like, you're such a
God damn
dick. God damn it.
Mike, what are some of your favorites then? Justin said, you know, he liked the sours. He likes the IPAs. What are some of your favorite beers?
I like Pilsners, smoked beers, really big into smoked beers, Saisons, French Saisons, not Belgian Saisons, going back to that whole banana thing, because French Saisons are much more like clove, spice, not really any kind of fruity character to it. But yeah, so that's kind of, you know, and IPAs too. Love IPAs. I mean, who doesn't?
So, like, what kind of IPA, though? Like, that's like real broad.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. I was going to say,
everybody likes IPAs these days, but the range is, like, massive.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll drink pretty much any of them. There's not really any IPAs that I don't like or like more than the other. And like with anything, one day I want really hoppy. One day I want more, you know, less hoppy. One day I want a black IPA. You know, it's kind of
just no Sabro
with the weather. Except actually, for Sabro. No Sabro.
Mike brewed a real badass IPA. It's called Doh Yeah. And Doh Yeah was the beer that I drank when I came to do like my in-person interview. And I'm looking at the menu, I'm like, Doh Yeah, he's the APA. I'm like, that sounds good. Ordered it up.
Oh, yeah.
And it was good. Doh it yeah. was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, Doh Mike's, yeah.
Mike's made some good stuff. I can vouch for that.
I love it. All right. Quick pause on this conversation here and a word from our sponsors. Week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sportsbook betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state or province, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
All right, and now as we come back in again with the great folks, Mike and Justin of Lupulin Brewing. I'm actually on my second beer here with them, which I've also had in the past, but we kind of continue a theme here that I'll let Isha take over with incredible can art.
Sabro.
Speaking of Sabro.
I had to throw this out there just for Mike. This is, I'm sorry, I'm rubbing salt in the wound, but you know, hey, beautiful can, we got to allow it.
Yeah, everybody likes what they like.
Yeah. Oh, dude, so what's cool, actually, you got 8-count rolling there. So we, next week, we are brewing the beer called 10-count. And 10-count, it's just going to be like, what? It's just going to be a pretty high ABV version of that, Mike, but still Sabro in it, I believe.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no.
Surprised you don't know it off the top of your head. You're like, yes, there's Sabro in it.
If he tasted it, he would know, Justin.
Yeah.
He's got the spreadsheets on his phone now because everyone's got Google Sheets, right? There you go. So he's looking it up right now. I love it.
Yeah, so we're ramping that one up a little bit and up and
no
in.
No Sabro.
Hey, so no it's, Sabro.
Better.
Yep, and that's what, you know, we do that with Caleb Truax, the boxer who's a good fan, a good friend of the brewery. He was actually just at the brewery today. He's there with his son, drinking beer, hanging out. He comes by all the time. That's like the second time I've seen him in a week. Just hanging out, drinking beer, man. So
sweet,
yeah,
man.
We love to have him, and yeah, so we're gonna we're just kind of taking our partnership to a next little level and brewing some different stuff. But yeah, happy to see you drinking that one too, man. That's a good one. I like Sabro, so I can get on board with it.
Now that you say it, though, I taste it. I taste the Sabro.
Yeah,
well,
man.
I love you guys' can art. Hoppy actually sent me a Minnesota beer care package when we first started doing this together. And in that care package was the fashion mullet. And I was like, oh man, what is this Lupulin? This is an unbelievable can. Oh. he is the fashion mullet. It is Mike here. Wow, personifying that beard.
I don't see the soul patch there though, Mike. I see a full beard.
It's in there somewhere.
It's buried.
It's lost in the forest. Okay.
Look, by the time I get there, I could probably do the whole, you know, fashion mullet too. Maybe I will just for the visit to Lupulin. But so very familiar with you guys' can art. Hoppy, again, like is a big fan of yours and has featured a ton of your guys' beers here on the podcast this last year. So just a few questions on the can art itself, and I'll throw a few at you and you guys can, answer them as you please. Justin or Mike can jump in with whatever question. But why this overall, you know, particular style of can art? Who are the artists, and why is can art important for craft beer sales and culture?
Mike, you should take this because you're actually a good artist too. So
yeah, so I mean, we only have one artist, I mean, for pretty much everything. Some of the scribble line stuff came from another artist, but yeah, Marcus, he does an amazing job. He had like the style that's on the cans, that's his style.
Cool. His touch. Yeah.
Yeah, and just what he comes up with everything is just amazing. Especially, it's fun watching him with his iPad and his little pen out in the tap room sometimes doodling, and it's just like, man, just watching it come together is amazing. But then for having amazing artwork on your can, that's a huge thing marketing wise. Like Justin said, when he went to the liquor store and saw Hooey for the first time, was like, man, this can looks sweet. I'm just gonna buy it. And so having really cool artwork on your, you know, merchandise and cans and whatever, you know, people are going to notice that. It's going to stand out. And so sometimes that helps get your foot in the door with people, you know, who've never heard of you before. You know, they're just wandering through and all of a sudden like, hey, man, that looks sweet. I'm going to grab that.
Especially, yeah, absolutely.
Especially in a, you know, a space that's super, super populated, you know, like you were kind of saying earlier too, like, you know, we're all from different places, but like all of us can probably say that wherever we were from and wherever we're at now, like wherever craft beer was at, like quite a few years ago, it's so much different now. Even if you live in Podunk, nowhere, like probably got a craft brewery or something, you know, and in the liquor store, there's the beer on the shelves and you got to do something to stick out. You got to do something to differentiate yourself, because when there's so many options out there, like, but you know, it's like, there's a genuine question of why should people care about your brewery? Why should people care about your brewery? Why should they care about your beer? And like, you need to answer that question, you know, with your marketing. You need to answer that question with your beer. But marketing and art is such an important thing. It's kind of that first step, right? You know, it's like that first step to even allow that type of thing to happen. So, you know, if your cans are boring and it's hard to even get that good beer in people's hands. So it's really important. And we're so, so fortunate to have someone like Marcus, who's so talented. And yeah, he's an amazing dude. And like one of our like also personal great friends, like we love Marcus. Yeah. We hang out with him all the time at work. Yeah, man. He's like, he's a really, really good dude. And yeah, good guy, great art. And we're really happy, great coworker too. And so we're happy to have him around. And I mean, you know, we can make the good beer, but he's got to get people to buy it too. So it's kind of a team effort, you know? And so it's nice to have someone like him on our team, because he's a strong player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. And with having the style that he has, makes our, you know, all of our cans recognizable. So if somebody does grab one and likes it, you know, next time they come back, like, hey, that looks familiar. You know, it's a different beer, but it's a similar style of art. So all of a sudden people are like, oh, wait, no, I remember that stuff. And
yeah, well, Hoppy, zoom in on me again. That's like the same with this. This is one of my favorites from Vancouver Island, which is an island off the coast of Vancouver, British Columbia. And this, yeah, they have two or three artists, but they're always just a really cool kind of, I don't know, psychedelic 80s. I don't know,
Pandemonium, like, baby.
Yeah, yeah, they had one called Pandemonium, which is this panda instead of Godzilla just like taking over a city.
Nice. Well, it had like lasers coming out of its eyes.
Lasers coming out of its eyes, and they have unbelievable artwork where they make a lot of money off their just poster and different type of canvas art sales as well, because they'll just run a few, just like their beers, on like a limited, you know, batch, and they'll print only like say like 500 posters and then sell them at like, you know, different grades, whether it's, you know, laminated or on, I don't even know, different types of canvases and whatnot. But they've been really successful in just like making, like, you know, Phillips Brewing from their artwork and their beer, you know, just almost neck and neck, which is what they've found success doing, you know, on Vancouver Island here where I'm from anyways. So it's just really cool to hear just you guys answer the questions on the can art there, because I think they were all unbelievable. And I really like how that one artist kind of just like takes notes and is kind of hovering around, and, you know, depending on the vibe, depending on the beer, just kind of, yeah, puts together his story, his look on it. And that's just super cool. Yeah.
No, for sure. And that transition's pretty good too. So I'll put you guys in the spot and know that going into this, I expect the answer to be, but were you aware that like just over a year ago, you were actually in one of our brewery brackets that we call Malt Madness?
Yeah. And I think we're in that again this year, right?
You're going to be. Yeah. So what the theme though this time, because before it was literally just, hey, what's your favorite brewery? Vote for them, whatever. This time we're going a little bit deeper. We're going to have a really cool platform to display everything. And you guys are going to send us pictures and videos of what you think is your best can design. And it's going to be which brewery has the best can design. And I mean, it could be a matter of just you guys saying, hey, here's our coolest one, let's roll with it. Some breweries are going to post a poll just for their brewery, right? Have like a bracket of, hey, here's our cans, which one should represent us in Malt Madness, right? But just from the two of your perspective, like, what is the best can design you have? And then a personal favorite that just kind of stands out for you individually at Lupulin.
Oh, man. I was literally just going to say that there's so many to pick from. Like, I think...
Good problem.
I think maybe one of my favorites is going to be the coffee shop assault vehicle.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm. That one turned out awesome. And there's a lot of little hidden Easter eggs in the tattoos on the guy's arm, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, there is.
I got to search that one up after.
I showed that one to you, Isha. Come on.
When? Yeah. You show me a lot, Hoppy.
But a non-can art, though, that I really like is every year, Big Beer Week. Marcus always comes up with some crazy skull. Like, I've actually got right there.
Yep. Yeah.
This is nice.
Recent one up on my toolbox. But yeah, so every year he makes like a new whole like skull and whole thing. Like the one year was like every beer name looked like a metal band, you know, like the fonts and stuff.
Oh, so cool.
That stuff's always been really cool that I've always really liked a lot. But I mean, that's not you know, can art, but still cool art that Marcus does.
All right, so Justin, you can't say all of the above. So let's hear a real answer.
You said you didn't. There was no beers that you didn't like to brew. So you gotta give us something here.
It's because those guys don't let me brew enough. So I'm just happy to brew anything. You know, I would say so. The can art that Mike's got, Mike, if you want to hold that up on West Coast Bias there.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorites.
That is sick.
Look at the fucking, the hoopty, dude. The hoopty that is on there, which is just sweet. And it's got like, you see the hop cones and the spinners, and there's a hop cone hood ornament and stuff. So, dude, that's awesome. Gotta be one of my favorites. And Marcus, he did win an award for that one as well. So
nice. Cool.
I think that that's gotta be my personal favorite. And I got, you know, to say what I think is our best can art, is it's gotta be the overall like the vibe that he has on Hui, like the style that he has created that transcends a lot of our brands, right? So it's like Hui, Blissful, Resin, Rapture, that same kind of like that way that he draws stuff, because that's like, that's his style. That's like what Mike's talking about, you know, like when he's got his big tablet, he's just like walking around the brewery, drinking tasters of coffee shop assault vehicle, talking to us about random shit. And we'll just be like scribbling on it and like drawing stuff and freehanding this, you know. And a good example of kind of like that style is, so here's one of our more recent beers, Tropical Fun Pants, that has come out and kind of been, we've been really pushing to make this a flagship. So you see, it's got that same Hui vibe to it, but all of the stuff that's like those kind of random designs on Hui is actual like depictions of the fruit that is in this beer. And so it was really cool to see him to like make his style, but make his style out of actual things like of fruits and pineapples and all these different things. And so it's like, he just never ceases to amaze on like the diversity that he has and like the stuff that he can do. And also one of the coolest ones is the only time I've ever seen him draw an animal. So there's this beer that we have, it's called Henpex, and he drew this big chicken. It's this big rooster chicken, and it's like murdering a raspberry, and it's covered in like raspberry blood all over its face. Like it looked like it massacred a raspberry, and it's like this like killer rooster or hen, but it's a rooster. And so it was that art also is really, really cool because it was kind of different from his style, and it's just like, dude, you can do everything.
Man. Yeah.
Well, and I got to throw this in there, and I'll just caveat it with Isha might end up deleting this out of the episode, but if you didn't see, he's biting down on his lip as you're showing that can that has all the fruits on it, because literally an hour or two ago, he sent me a DM on Twitter with a link to like a random PETA ad that popped up. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this is the most fucked up ad I've ever seen on Twitter. It's literally like people from PETA. It's just as like close up on a fruit that's cut in half. And then all you can see is a hand that's like literally like sexually fondling this fruit. And they just scroll through a bunch of different fruits. And you see those fruits that are cut in half. And I like commented on me and Isha's shared thing here. I'm like, the fruit. And I just see him bite his lip and look down. I'm like, oh, yes, I got him. I got him.
Well, and then the chicken and the blood. I'm like, PETA. I'm like, God damn, dude. I'm barely holding it together here. Let's just say that PETA really knocked this ad out of the park, boys. And I'm never going to look at fruit the same way again. But I think now, after looking at that can again, I'm never going to look at fruit the same way again. PETA's second in line now.
He is aroused by that can.
Good.
We'll send you this video after, you'll know what we fucking mean, boys. But anyways, this is the weirdest just the weirdest transition I've ever had to do in podcast. But let's get back to Lupulin. You guys have unbelievable ratings, phenomenal ratings online on all the major heavy hitters, right? Like Google, Untappd, Facebook, the list goes on. Again, I'm in Western Canada here. I've tried one of your guys' beers. Hoppy has nothing but amazing things to say about you. Hell, even Hoppy's friends who I've connected with have nothing but amazing things to say about you guys. But shit, the internet, the public, outside even the state of Minnesota has unbelievable reviews for you guys. And being outside, you know, the cities and Big Lake, I mean, what do you attribute all this love just online, on social media, in and outside the state too.
Just making great beer, man.
It's the first part.
Great beer, great artwork, just getting the beer out to people. People just love it.
Trying to, you know, like it's a, especially in this day and age too, it can be a difficult path to walk, you know. It's like there's no cut and dry instructions, indication, guidelines of, you know, how you want to portray yourself publicly, kind of like as a company, because, you know, and like it's always been a thing for companies, right? Like, how is a company going to portray themselves? Who are they going to be? What are they going to be about? What are they going to, you know, stand for? And like, I feel like at a time like this, it's never been more relevant, right? You know, where it's like that can actually have a huge impact on those things that we're talking about, like the ratings and your reception online and just the overall kind of public opinion of you, you know? And so it's like, you know, it's always been about making good beer. That's always what it's going to be about too, right? That's what comes first. Like at the end of the day, like that's what we're here to do. We're here to make good beer. And like, that's what the boss tells us to do. And so that's what we love to do. Right. And so, and that's how we want to win over the hearts of our fans, of the people who follow Lupulin and who drink our beer and stuff. We want you, we love you, and we want you to love our beer too. You know, that's kind of our thing. And so, but you know, you gotta be mindful of that kind of thing too. And you have to be a responsible company in your community. You have to respond to your community. You have to interact with your community, whether that's on a local level, a statewide level, and just
being involved. Well, you do a great job on social media too, because your guys' Instagram, you guys nail it. Like just the presentation. No, and you're super creative with it too, man. Like I'm being serious. You know, for someone who works in media, you know, I help start a media company, and like I haven't even cracked the Instagram code yet. You guys got it, and it's really, really cool to see. I see it all the time on my feed. So I really think you guys, like you said, represent locally really well. First and foremost, your beer is amazing, but to just the general public and just the beer nerds like myself who are miles and miles away from you guys, like it still is wanting to draw me in. Like if I could, I'd buy a plane ticket tomorrow and fly over.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
Canada's still a little strict with their border rules here.
with the Instagram and stuff like that, and with like the photos and videos and stuff that we post, you know, if you dig around a little bit, dude, you'll find some funny stuff. Me and Mike love to get in front of the camera when we got a good idea, man. Like a lot of times we'll have marketing.
No fruit.
So it's funny because like I think I know what you guys are talking about.
That's a bad transition. And
so this is on topic, man. Bradham's. We had a Bradham that was called Blissful Orgasm. That was our Bradham, and it had a lot of fruits in it and stuff like that. And similar to kind of what you were saying, we almost decided to advertise that beer on social media with some of those promiscuous fruit videos, photos, things like that. You know, it's definitely
I'm just
10% of proceeds go to PETA people.
Yes.
Holy shit. No,
sorry,
that's
I mean
awesome.
we're already down this hole, so I'm just gonna fucking share it. Like we're already here.
down this hole.
These
that
boys are
a,
awesome.
Good phrasing.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Here we go.
This. Yes.
Dude, like PETA, so, are you kidding me? Like, and why? What does this have to do with the animals?
Ooh, I like that last one. The last one was good. That was a nice cap.
I'm just and so confused what that has to do with PETA. I don't understand. Like, is this like geared toward bestiality? And they're like, instead of doing things with your pet, like, come to fruit.
Yeah.
So like I'm saying, for this Bradham Blissful Orgasm, there's like pineapples and stuff in it. We found some very interesting pineapple photos penetrating, like, and we almost sent it on Instagram, but we had to censor ourselves that time. But sometimes we struggle with that.
Meaning
sometimes
you posted it and then someone made you delete it.
It almost, yes.
Really close. So close.
Oh man, that's amazing. Before I let you go, here, guys. Actually, Hoppy, you got one more for them. Sorry.
Yeah. I just gotta ask this because obviously, like, obligatory answer. Lupulin is the greatest and your favorite beer that you'll ever drink. But like, looking across the state of Minnesota, like, what is your favorite brewery and or beer? And then what's one that you think is kind of like under the radar, nobody knows about, that you want to shed light on? Mike first.
All right. So one of my favorite breweries besides Lupulin is Hammerheart. And I went there the last weekend. They were open. They did get property up in Ely, so fingers crossed they're still going to keep putting out some good stuff. But yeah, like I was saying before, smoked beers, man, I love them. So yeah, it's another one of those hard to pick a favorite, because God, they just make so many good beers.
And Mike, but what's a brewery that you think might be flying under the radar that you'd like to shed some light on?
Come back to me on that. Right. Let me think a little bit.
No worries. Yeah, no. Stu, mull that one over. So, one of my favorite breweries, I would say, man, Fair State. Fair State kicks ass. I love Fair State. We love Fair State. We've always, had a good relationship with them, and we don't brew collaboration beers together all the time, but we've got a nice relationship. We share information, equipment, stuff like that sometimes, and they make kick-ass beer, good people. So always been a beer that I'm happy to buy in the liquor store if I'm just looking for something for the weekend and I didn't steal anything from the cooler on my way home. If I can find some fresh Fair State, I'm all about it. And I'm actually really happy to shed some light on a brewery that is up and coming and deserves some recognition. So I'm in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and there is a brewery here that just opened up called Backshed Brewing. Backshed Brewing just opened up within the past couple months. And the folks that are behind the beer were previous award-winning home brewers, and they fired up this brew house. It's actually like very close to our big Crafts Direct building in St. Cloud. And so I went there just this past weekend because I've been just dying to go. And so what I had there was two of the most wonderfully executed Midwest malty, hoppy, bitter, balanced, floral IPAs. And one of them was an IPA, one was a double IPA that I've had in a long time. And it was like a blast from the past, where like before I was even drinking IPAs, like these were like the ones that were being executed well, and they did such a good job. And I was just like, I was beside myself. And so, I mean, they're a small operation. They just fired up, and I encourage everyone and anyone who's around or cruising through, please go stop by Backshed, because I will be back there, and I will be back there a lot, because they're the real deal, and they make good beer.
Awesome. Huge shout out to them. Mike, did you think of anything there as you were pondering?
I did. So there's another brewery that's not too far from us out in Monticello, Nordic. If anybody has not heard of them, go check them out. Right off of 94. Yeah, they make some good beer out there. Matt, super cool dude. Every time we go talk to him, if you want to talk malt, go talk to Matt. Sweet. Dude will talk your ear off.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, sweet boys, I only got one more question for you. Again, thank you so much for your guys' time. This has been so much fun thus far, from beer to fruit. I mean, we didn't even hit sports yet, but that's okay. We'll just keep this one sport free. Sorry, at Kaprizov. Tell us about Pours for a Purpose, and how's it been going thus far there at Lupulin. I know you have one more left, and this podcast comes out Friday, and there's one more on September 30th. But I was reading a little bit about that initiative that you guys got going on at the brewery, so I thought I'd throw it to you guys and see how that's been going this September.
Justin, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll run with that one. So Pours for a Purpose, it's something that it's the folks that are behind our company, the guys that light the way, the guys that lead our company into the promised land, they're really, really, really focused on giving back, right? They're very, very focused on giving back to the community, charity, and just trying to be good people and breed good karma and good vibes. And so Pours for a Purpose is something that we've been doing. And it's always for a variety of causes. You know, sometimes it's for MS. I know sometimes it was for mental health, and it's actually and like an animal rescue one time as well. And so you know, I know it's been going good, and it's hard for anything to go bad when you're doing something for a good cause. You know, at its very worst times, it's still good because you're trying to just do what you can to help out an organization or a group of people or animals who we think just deserve it and need a little help. So it's always going good, and we're always looking to promote that as much as we can and encourage everyone to come on out for that. And you know, we want to donate everything that we can. So it's something that's near and dear to our hearts, and the people upstairs, the aforementioned carpet walkers, it's really near and dear to their hearts too. So yeah, it's a reason to be happy to work for Lupulin for sure.
Oh, that's amazing. Before we close things out, boys, anything that came to mind, anything you want to promote? I mean, the floor is yours here before we say our goodbyes here in episode 205 of the Soda Pod. Any new beers coming up? Anything you want to tease? Mike, Justin, the floor is yours.
Mike, go ahead.
Just about to release, or might have actually released it already. We already canned it. The El Dorado, our newest sexy hop. It is killer. So if you guys see that out in the liquor store, out in the bar, wherever you're at, pick some up. It is really good.
Mm. Did we do single malt this time, or is it just single hop on that one? But
just single hop.
Yeah. Right on. So yeah, so that is a good one for sure. I agree with that. Definitely keep your eye out for that. And we've also, on the Scribbled Line side, we're always releasing new mixed culture beer. I was doing bottle conditioned sours. We got some stuff cooking up right now that's done cooking up. That's kind of that's the idea. That's how you know it's ready. It's all done cooking up and it's bottled up. It's ready to go. And we've got some mixed culture saisons coming down the pipeline. We've got a blueberry and cranberry mixed culture saison that utilizes a saison strain from one coast of the United States and a Brettanomyces strain from another coast of the United States. And then we actually blended that together with a separate little batch we did of Lithuanian farmhouse yeast. Subjected that to some blueberry and cranberry, bottle conditioned that up so it's a nice dry, spritzy, kind of funky lick. And then we've got Fugacity 8 coming out, which is a dark, malty, raspberry, cranberry, like heavy, kind of sweet, chocolate-covered fruit sour that...
See, I could get on board with that. I'm not a huge light sour guy, but that sounds rich and super good.
It's smooth. It's good. I mean, hey, send us your address. We'll shoot one over. Shoot one over. We'll stay in touch, my friend. We got to get you on some of the other stuff that we've got here. So, yeah, I'd love to share.
Oh, man. You guys are absolute gems. This has been outstanding. Thank you for joining the Soda Pod. And thank you to all who have been listening via Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever the hell you get your podcasts from. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a kind review as well. If you're jonesing for more hockey content or lifestyle and beer content, because it is out there on the Hockey Podcast Network, head to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. And on your app, please download the episodes before you listen, as it just helps our business. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. Hoppy, where can they find you?
More importantly, you can find our awesome friends and all of their great beer at Lupulin Brewing on Twitter. And guess what? If you search Lupulin, you're probably not going to find something else if you go on Facebook, Instagram, wherever.
Hey, their Instagram is amazing. I said it. I'm not a huge grammar. I'm always so excited when I see a new shot there from Lupulin.
Oh yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, bye. Take a look. We're always doing fun stuff.
grammar, is that even a term?
At first, I thought you were talking about your poor grammar, but yeah.
And that is a thing there. Again, you can follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. We appreciate all your support. That's it. That's the show. Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi alongside Mike Justin, the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, boys?
Good.
We're good. Take care. Thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it.
I think we're good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.